I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran. And this is Radio versus the Martians. My knowledge of what cable is doing is just like non-existent now. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I'll be in a bar and it'll be on a cable channel because there's a sports game or something. And I'll see, not only will I actually see the type of commercials that don't play on YouTube, because there certainly is a real difference between the type of stuff that gravitates in your algorithm or whatever your unique thing is that they find for you. I have to do one tangent here. When you deviate in like a really strange way from the algorithm, the first advertisement they give to you is like really, really, really crazy and weird. Mm-hmm. So like last night, I don't remember what I was trying to type in, but I typed in the first four letters and it auto-filled, and it was clearly like a Hindi song. I could just tell by the way that the letters were. And it was like I started watching it and it was like the Hindi equivalent of Cocomelon. Have we talked about Cocomelon before?
Just no.
Little kid, mm-hmm. just little like toddler kid songs like simple little computer generated characters that's meant to hold the attention of like a 3-year-old for 20 minutes while they're in the car or something. But this was like they're singing in Hindi or whatever. It switches, and then instead of the type of like YouTube ads that I normally get, which are a confusing mix of you're a white male, you use technology, you live in the United States, something, something. It was an advertisement for a type of weird stuffed animal toy, because it was related to like a kid's thing. It was like you take one step off the path and you're like, oh, Google wants to know whether or not you actually are someone who's from the Indian subcontinent, who's raising kids in America, who's watching this English channel, advertisement to give to for kids for this little stuffed doll that I've never seen in my life.
The algorithm is trying to figure out who you are and if it misjudged you, because it wants your money and it's trying to figure out how the robot is going to decide to advertise to you.
But it's fascinating when you just step one toe off the path and you're like, oh, people are obviously seeing their internet is so much different than my internet.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny how you like get into like, you know, your streaming service like bubbles, you might say.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, but one thing that was like really weird. So Joe and I took a trip and we were like in hotel rooms. So of course, like, you know, you got the old like way of just watching the like guide channel and figuring out what you want to watch. And like, you know, there's commercials that you've never seen before and that sort of stuff. So I'll admit it. I am a 90-day fiance person. Nice. I love it. Ask me anything about anyone. I'll just like tell you.
Okay. So I guess this is the question that you'd ask also people who are fans of pro wrestling, which is like, how do you get over the fact that it's clearly all kayfabe? Like,
it's not about that.
It's all performative. Like, of course it's not a good, of course people understand intuitively that it's not a good idea to marry someone for a television show, but dot, dot, dot.
Sometimes it works out. Sometimes I believe in them. Anyway, we were like watching TV in this hotel room and I saw an ad for 90 Day Fiancé. And it was so weird because it was like showing like a specific couple who's been on a couple seasons now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you are not even scratching the surface of this couple. You have no idea what they've been through. Listen, this guy lied about who he was. She went to India anyway. And then he was married and his parents came and stole him back. But then they got back together and then they got married and then he never told his. It's like this whole thing.
Wait. So this is a reality show, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And so it's just like all this stuff, but it was so weird.
It is the whole thing is really strange. I totally get it. It's this type of thing that I'm not going to end up watching, but I completely and totally get sucked in to see how you can get sucked into the idea of basically a soap opera, where it's like once you've spent enough time with these characters and how much character is scripted and how much character is unscripted is up to anyone's guess, right?
It's always a test of how much can you make me care and be emotionally invested in a subculture that I don't care about, that outside of these people, suddenly I'm very opinionated about parts of this subculture and who deserves what and who should win and who should lose.
Yeah.
And I felt that, remember when we watched Pumping Iron just a short while ago?
Right, right.
You couldn't probably pay me to watch a Mr. Universe competition, but during the runtime of that movie, I was very involved.
Oh, yeah.
In who wins and who loses. And I have to wonder, too, with those reality shows, that the show itself, just for legal reasons, has to do background checks on everybody. And I have
the face that and Kirby just made.
It makes me wonder if they
got murderers on that show.
What?
Yeah, it's insane.
Well, the producers were just like, they had an open casting call for convicted murderers. We're like, come on our show.
No, it's like a thing. Like,
but I kept thinking that do they intentionally let it go? And do they let somebody be set up with somebody that they know is going to be incompatible? Because a reality show, more than anything else, needs its villains and it needs its drama.
Yeah. Well, I think that people apply to be on the show. It's not like they're just like, you know, bringing in people. I think people apply for it.
Well, so but, automatically it's a self-selected group of people who know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah. Right? And they also, I think that there is like a certain type of person who would want to be on that show because they all end up like, you know, selling diet pills and stuff on Instagram afterwards.
Fame seekers. Lots
of
fame seekers.
Fame seekers, that sort of thing. But I mean, I don't know. It's like one of those things that I really enjoy. It's similar to like why I really like the relationship or Am I the Asshole subreddits. It's because I get to like just watch this drama happening and I don't have to be a part of it.
Right.
I just have to like read it or watch it. And then I'm like, oh, these are my opinions about it. And then I move on.
And they're not going to hurt your life.
They are. It's totally inconsequential.
It's not like your neighbor who, when you say those things out loud, you've completely irreparably destroyed your relationship because you expressed your opinion. Yeah.
But it's specifically asking for your input on somebody's personal life.
Yeah,
it is.
Right?
The whole point is somebody is volunteering their drama to the jury.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think, what is it somebody said? I forget who said this. They said the really weird thing with the Am I the Asshole subreddit. Because I don't even look at the subreddit. I look at the Twitter feed that collects the subreddit.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
the best of the best.
Yeah. Right. It's a curated version of this. The point they made, and I'm going to try not to butcher this. They said, the thing with Am I the Asshole is that you will see a scenario that has a header like, I just poisoned a child. Am I the asshole? And then when you actually read it, it turns out they're being completely reasonable and ethical. And you're like, oh, okay. Then you have another one like, is it okay for me to give my wife a birthday present? And it'll turn out to be the most sociopathic thing you've ever read.
It's part of the fun of the subreddit.
And you have to wonder that the person who posts these things...
Well, are they good storytellers? It could just be really... like that's all one of the things that is intriguing to me about that is, if you're a good enough writer, you could just have some Reddit accounts, and you could just be spinning these yarns, and it would be amazing for it to just like blow up, and for people to believe you, because you just were that good at making something bite-sized and concise and realistic.
Well, that's kind of the thing about it, too, is because sometimes like the things that happen, and people will go in and like investigate and be like, you said this, you know, and I'm just like, ugh. It doesn't matter. Let me just enjoy my stupid story that's like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that, or like...
Because I think that certainly some of them are true. I don't know what percentage. I'm not going to investigate this. But I think a lot of them at the very least are plausible. Mm-hmm. The ones that always are weird to me is that I have to imagine that if you are posting your story to the Am I the Asshole subreddit, that you read the Am I the Asshole subreddit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're at least aware of it. And you've also seen these things play out in comment threads.
Yeah.
So you have to have some level of awareness that these people are not going to be kind if they think you're the asshole. And they will tell you exactly why. So why does everybody, and I think this is the same thing that happens on every Gordon Ramsay restaurant show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone seems to think they're the exception. And are we also sociopathic that we can't imagine not being the good guy in our own story? Mm-hmm. Where some people, you just have to go, well, of course I lock my child up, and even though he's 17 years old, I curate everything he watches on the internet, and I have to be in the room with him when he's on the phone, and I have to do this and this and this, and I just don't understand why he doesn't want to talk to me now that he's gone away to college. And it's like, you have that story, but you're also at the same time somebody who's aware of Reddit and the kind of audience that'll jump on you. How could you think, with an awareness of both your own story and an awareness of Reddit, that Reddit would side with you in this story? And that's the part that I just don't understand. But again, I'm I would think of that as evidence that the story is fake on one level.
Yeah.
But on the other level, I have met a lot of people with no self-awareness at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you've met more than one bad liar, then you know, like, people who do it sometimes just do it so compulsively that then they don't ever feel enough consequences from backlash from it, that they just keep going and keep going and keep going.
Yeah, it's weird on there. Like, I posted another 90 day thing. So there was there was like a new couple, and there was someone who's like pretty prominent in the 90 day fiance universe, and they have a store. They have a store, and they have like these barrettes, and this new person was wearing like a barrette that was from the store of this other 90 day person. I was like, oh, she's a fan. She knows, you know. And so I took a picture of it. I like posted it on the 90 day subreddit, and everybody got on me, and they were just like, I bought that off of Amazon. Blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, I thought we were going to have fun here. Like, I thought we were going to have a good time. Being like, oh my God, they just, you know.
You started interfacing with the worst parts of fandom. Yeah. I mean,
it was so bad. I was so mad. And I think it's weird because
you're right. Let the stories, let you just have the stories in your head.
Yeah. Let me just have a good time.
I think that maybe that's why I'm there might be a thing that where I'm a little allergic to the I like the reality TV stuff. For this, the ambiguity is the part of it where is if I know that I'm going into a movie that's scripted, even if I know that I'm going into like a biopic, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I know that what I'm approaching is something that is only sort of factually and emotionally and whatever consistent with itself mm-hmm. and doesn't even need to like pass any test about being like, is it realistic? Is it believable? That sort of stuff. I love that I can just experience it on that level, and it can be like, well, even this is total fiction. I think I learned something about myself, or it made me feel something. When it entreats into this level of, yeah, we're also doing these characters because stories need characters, but these character people that are creating these characters who have the names of those people who are in an ecosystem, you know, past 20 years of reality TV shows, who grew up watching reality TV shows, who understand the premise and the game, who are attracted to the idea of being people who want fame, to have no real talent whatsoever, who understand that there's a metagame to be played. And then on top of all that, it's like, oh, well, we're going to create a story about real people and real decisions and real choices. And I'm like, there's too much stuff loaded on the top mm-hmm. of it for me to accept everything beneath it as being at all believable. And so for me, the experience of watching them is that I find them despicable mm-hmm. and I don't mm-hmm. and I can't empathize with them. And so it turns me off and I can't watch it.
Fair.
Are you guys familiar? There was back when there was a channel called Spike TV, which was
Spike TV.
The dude bro channel of the aughts, which tells you everything you need to know mm-hmm. about it. It's you might as well just call it douchebag TV.
Although they did play reruns of Star Trek for a time, which is the reason why I was watching.
There was one show that was on that channel that I am sort of fascinated with, even to this day, because it became accidentally wholesome. Because, again, we're talking about the aughts here. Mm-hmm. So there was a show called The Joe Schmo Show. Are you guys familiar with it at all?
No, I don't think so.
So The Joe Schmo Show was a parody of reality television, which was still pretty new at that time. I think we were still... This must have been like 2007, 2008-ish. And we were still at, you know, the point where people on Survivor could become celebrities and appear in a Rob Schneider movie in a cameo or something.
Dear God, what a time.
But there was a real sense that this could actually be a road to fame.
Sure.
And I don't think most people have that illusion now, where it's a road to passive income for some people because they're selling mm-hmm. barrettes. But we're still in that early mode where we still didn't quite know what it was. And people hadn't self-selected down to a very specific genre of human being as a reality show contestant. Mm-hmm. You'd still get like a weirdo who didn't give a shit about fame on your show. So the Joe Schmo Show's premise is that everybody on the show is an actor running from a script, except for one guy who thinks he's on a real reality show.
Oh, I love this.
So there were actually a lot of people who were not quite famous yet, that names you would recognize, who appeared as cast members on this show. So the idea on the Joe Schmo Show is that we're all on a fake reality show called The Lap of Luxury, where everybody is moving into a mansion together and you do challenges. And there's like ripoffs of everything from like Fear Factor to Big Brother to Survivor, that you're doing weird challenges and you try to win immunity for the week and you become head of household or whatever. And everyone on there is...
Do they get voted off?
Yeah, you get voted off.
Okay, so the guy probably wins.
So the games are rigged so that no matter what happens, the guy who's not the actor doesn't come in last place and won't get eliminated from the show. And everyone throws their drama at him or has things happen around him. Plus, you also see the off-camera stuff with the host. Like, the host is somebody who's increasingly bitter and hates that this is what he thinks is the dead end of his career.
Doing
bullshit reality show. And everyone throws their drama at him. And some of the people that you would recognize who were other castmates before they were famous, one is Kristen Wiig.
Oh, wow. Really?
Who plays Dr. Pat, who is a quack psychologist. Who gives really, really bad advice.
Oh my God. Perfect. Perfect role for her.
The guy who plays Rickety Cricket on It's Always Sunny plays, I think he's like something Hutchison, the Hutch. And he's like the douchebag asshole guy. There's like a gruff military guy who's an older man. There's the flamboyant gay guy. There's the good Christian girl. There's like the mean girl. And then there's like the nice best friend. And that guy's probably had the nicest job, where your job is just to be the non-actor's best friend, that you hang out with him and you interact, you know, and you expect the self-selection of the reality show to give you a real D-bag. Who is this non-actor going to be? Mm-hmm. You expect him to be somebody who's in it for fame or out for attention, and is probably, as you can see on a lot of reality shows, because they really want to get their villain to flip tables and scream. They really want it to be that guy, so that when we throw him through a bunch of puzzles and we fuck with him for an entire season and not tell him that he's on a show, we don't feel bad about watching him get lied to. We don't, you know, he's in the middle of a scam, essentially, in a rigged game, thinking he's acting in good faith. But something crazy happens on the Joe Schmo show that you can't script, which is they got this totally wholesome doofus.
Oh, I love that.
If anyone knows the character of Butters on South Park, imagine if that were a real person. Where they got this guy who is so guileless that he never comes close to figuring out that he's on a fake show. Even when accidents happen in front of him sometimes. He refuses to rise to bait. There are sequences where they make him think he's accidentally hurt a contestant. And he feels so bad. There was like a thing where they had to put on like sumo type outfits and wrestle. And it was him and Kristen Wiig. And Kristen Wiig fell in such a way that it looked like she was hurt. And he won the contest and won some like weekend at some resort. And he felt so bad that he might have hurt her that he gave her his prize.
Oh,
wow.
What a sweet thing.
Wow. Whenever there's a situation, he refuses to escalate things and he tries always to diffuse things. There was one where there was a challenger, him and the good Christian girl are in swimsuits and they're handcuffed together for some challenge. And then they go, oh, it's a surprise visit from her boyfriend with his acoustic guitar. And he's like a Christian and he's yelling at her that she's handcuffed in a bathing suit. And they're clearly, he's in a situation where he's handcuffed to a person who's getting an argument with their boyfriend about something. And he turns his back and is desperately trying to not interfere and trying to not, like, I'm not going to be the jerk, I'm not going to escalate this, I'm not going to yell at anybody, and I don't want, you know, I feel so bad. And there's just moments where, of course, a part of the show is he's asleep now, we can sneak out of our rooms and whisper and talk about, and what you would see happen more and more is they felt bad about lying to him. The people on the show were like, he's such a sweet guy. I feel I have a moral issue with the fact that we're fucking with him and that it's not fun in that way. And there's all these scenarios where he gets an opportunity to be a jerk. And he'll still, like, I think there's a moment where the Hutch, the douchebag guy, is like being a bully to the gay guy in the show. And the main guy sticks up for him. And you see him just be a good guy every time there's an opportunity to be a good guy.
That's awesome.
And they're starting to feel really bad that we're lying to him and we're putting him in rigged games.
Is this like a double fake out where like all the actors were actually like being faked out to like do it, and then
No, he's for real.
By accident.
No, but he was. I mean, I think what they wanted to do in the show was probably something more mean spirited.
Yeah,
they wanted to get a guy that you wouldn't feel bad pranking and lying and watching. Oh my God, he's an idiot. He doesn't know anything. But he ends up being so sweet that they almost don't know what to do on the show, where they're like, you know, oh my God, we gave him an opportunity to be an asshole and he refused to take it. Even for the segments where he doesn't think he's on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, when they reveal it to him, it's almost like a show where they basically, it's like a love fest where like, I felt so bad lying to you. and it's like everyone's crying and stuff because at the end, wow. The game is rigged so that the asshole guy wins.
Yeah.
At the end, where it's down to him and the non-actor,
mm-hmm.
and the asshole guy wins, and you see in the guy's face that he's hurt, but he still applauds for
him. Oh, my God.
And is still trying to be incredibly gracious, and then they have to tell everyone that it's all just fake, and the guy had no fucking clue.
Oh, my God.
That he just went through the whole thing not knowing, and at the end, it's almost this love fest of people saying, like, video testimonials, oh, you were so great, and it was like, and everyone's, like, crying, and it's like, this is not what this show wanted to be.
Of course not. Of course not.
And it ended up becoming something so much better because they got the guy on a reality show who actually was just such a sweet doofus without a malicious bone in his body.
I think this gave me an idea. I think the concept of bum fights has came up on this,
oh.
this show before. Do you know what bum fights? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
A thing that I think is illegal probably to do.
Bum fights, the final stage of capitalism.
I think I'd like to like imagine the just on that note too. On that note, like the Joe Schmo note is how to do bum fights, but have it be the wholesome version of bum fights.
Wholesome bum fights,
right? But I mean, not that they're fighting or something, but that you're enticing someone to be part of this game, and instead of having another person hurt another person so they can get liquor or something positive and good happens that they don't expect. You know what I mean? We could take back bum fights, Mike, you and I.
I think the only way to take back bum fights is that it turns into something like Old Boy, where really what it is it's a bunch of people who've made homeless. And their landlords who evicted them. And at the end of that, the landlord is left with nothing, like in Trading Places. And the properties are now owned by the people who've been made homeless. After, of course, they administer a beating.
Do they eat them? Do they eat the rich and live in their houses?
See, this is wholesome bum fights. I mean, there's no way I think you can do wholesome bum fights without rectifying the homeless part of the homeless people mm-hmm. fighting.
Of course, because the reason why the original bum fights quote unquote worked was because you had some people that are so vulnerable that people didn't have empathy for, so it could be like enjoyable haha laughing at seeing these disheveled broken people fighting each other, right?
And only doing it because they're so fucking desperate and impoverished. I mean, I really do think bum fights maybe it's like the moral bottom for anything to make money, is that somebody is just going to take somebody who has no capacity to say no to that exploitation, who literally is like, I'm a couple days away from starvation, and saying, I want you to damage your own body for the hope of a sandwich. Not even to not be homeless, but just, I get to eat today, but I also don't have health insurance.
Right.
Where I really do think the wholesome bum fights is that the homeless people make their landlords fight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I do it.
Radio versus the Martians is hosted by Mike Gillis and Casey Doran. This podcast is recorded in beautiful Valverde in Seattle, Washington. Our chief engineer is Casey Doran, and our editor is Mike Gillis. Our original theme music is written and performed by James Wetzel. Special thanks to Sam Mulvey, Rob Kelly, James Wetzel, Paul Rue, Tobiah Panshin, Scott Kramer, Kyle Hepworth, and Todd Maxfield Matsumoto. Please take the time to rate and review our show on iTunes and Stitcher, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you'd like to support the show financially, please consider becoming one of our Patreon subscribers. Even just $1 a month gives you access to exclusive episodes. And you can always find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Another of the many indicators of what a nice guy Matt is came up during the talent show because Kip was doing his awful magic act.
Pick a card.
Okay.
Show the card to the all of the cameras.
And he was supposed to pick the card out of the deck that Matt had previously picked.
Okay, there. Yes. Now, show the audience.
This is the card.
That's yes.
But once again, I mean, this guy is just golden.
Where are my pictures that I took?
Get his pictures, dude.
They're gone. I ruined them. I cut them
up.
That
was our memories.
Well, what do you mean you cut them up,
dude? I cut them up, dude. I thought it'd be funny.
If you really cut them up, like, you honestly have to take a look at yourself.
This was never brought up initially when I took on the gig, you know. They didn't say, you know, we're going to make an ass out of you. It was all done very backhandedly.
Makes you feel better. I'd do it. I'd dress up in that. I know you feel dumb and it might look dumb, but I don't think it'll have detrimental effects upon your career, really. Mm-hmm. But then I'm from Pittsburgh.
This guy is just... There's nobody else like him.
You wear a bikini and a hot tub and you're chained to a guy. I'm not, no offense. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I didn't take any offense.
Matt just turned his back out of respect for, you know, this relationship. He turned his back so we could talk to each other.
Molly, you can go out that front door right now.
She can't go out.
And disqualify herself.
Yes, she can.
Well, yes. But she has to know that she'll be disqualified if she leaves the mansion.
Molly, you make that choice right now.
Yeah.
I want you to please take my 7-day stay to Utah. Yeah. And there is no question about it. You will take the trip.
Okay? Yeah.
A lot of people might think that I might regret giving it to her. And I just want to say, not at all. I felt great about it. I felt like I had done something great for somebody.